माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी नित्यलीला प्रविष्टया ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस वैराजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री श्रीमहेश्वरनारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अंतकोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर जी की जय कृष्ण बलराम जी की जय श्री गौरनिताय की जय लक्ष्मी सिंह रेव की जय प्रहलाद जी महाराज की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय संवेद भक्तवृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय गौर प्रमानंद ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति शपदान्तिकं नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये Nastaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 3. What is the heading of this? Text number 18. Tarvah kim na jivanti.
Tarvah kim na jivanti.
Vastra kim na swashantyuta. Nakhadanti na mehanti. Kim grame pasabho pare. Tarva kim na jivanti. Vastra kim na swashantyuta. Nakhadanti na mehanti. Kim grame pasabho pare.
Tarva kim na jivanti
Vastra kim na swashantyuta Nakhadanti na mehanti
Kim
grame pasavo pare Tarva kim na jivanti Vastra kim na swashantyuta Nakhadanti na mehanti
Kim grame pasavo pare
Tarva kim na jivanti
Vastra kim na
swashantyuta Nakhadanti na mehanti Kim grame pasavo pare Anyone else?
Tarva kim na jivanti
Tarva kim na jivanti
Vastra kim na swashantyuta
Nakhadanti na mehanti
Kim grame pasavo pare
Thank you. What is the name, sir? Tarabaha. The trees. Kim. Weather. Na. Do not. Jivanti. Live. Vastra. Bellows. Kim. Weather. Na. Do not. Swashanti. Breathe. Uta, also, na, do not, khadanti, eat, na, do not, mehanti, discharge semen, kim, weather, grame, in the locality, pashavaha, beastly living beings, apparate, others. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Yes. Do the trees not leave? Do the bellow of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Purport. The materialistic man of the modern age will argue that life, or part of it, is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments. Life is meant for the maximum duration of existence for eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry and enjoying life. The modern man wants to live forever by the advancement of material science, and there are many foolish theories for prolonging life to the maximum duration. But the Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that life is not meant for so-called economic development or advancement of materialistic science, for the hedonistic philosophy of eating, mating, drinking and merrymaking. Life is solely meant for tapasya, for purifying existence, so that one may enter into the eternal life just after the end of the human form of life. The materialists want to prolong life as much as possible because they have no information of the next life. Therefore, they want to get the maximum comfort. They want to get the maximum comfort of life only in this present life, thinking conclusively that there is no life after death. This ignorance about the eternity of living being and the change of covering in the material world has played havoc in the structure of the modern human society. Consequently, there are many problems multiplied by various plans of modernized man. The plans for solving the problems of society have only aggravated the troubles. Even if it is possible to prolong life more than 100 years, advancement of human civilization does not necessarily follow. The Bhagavatam says that certain trees live for hundreds and thousands of years. At Vrindavan, there is a tamarind tree. The place is known as Imlitala, which is said to be existing since the time of Lord Krishna. In the Calcutta Botanical Garden, there is a banyan tree said to be older than 500 years. And there are many more such trees all over the world. Swami Shankaracharya lived only 32 years, and Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Does it mean that prolonged lives for above mentioned trees are more important than Shankara and Chaitanya? Shankara or Chaitanya? Prolonged life without spiritual value is not very important. One may doubt that trees have life because they do not breathe. But modern science, like Bose, have already proved that there is life in plants. So breathing is no sign of actual life. The Bhagavatam says that the bellow of a blacksmith breathes very soundly. But that does not mean that the bellow has life. The materialist will argue that life in the tree and life in the man cannot be compared because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes or by enjoying sexual intercourse. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam asks whether other animals like the dogs and hogs living in the same village with the human beings do not eat and enjoy sexual life. The specific utterance of Srimad Bhagavatam in this connection regarding other animals means that persons who are simply engaged in the matter of planning a better type of animal life consisting of eating, breathing and mating are also animals in the shape of human beings. A society of such polished animals cannot benefit. A society of such polished animal cannot benefit suffering humanity, but an animal can easily harm another animal, but rarely do good. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Very interesting. So, tarava kim na jivanti, vastra kim na shashantyuta, na khadanti, na mehanti, kim grame pashavo pare. Do the trees not live? Do the bellow of blacksmiths not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Yes, so Sukadev Goswami has been emphasizing to understand the value of human life. Just yesterday we heard a nice, wonderful shloka and Nagaraj Prabhu gave class, which indicates that without thinking of Krishna, one who spends time without thinking of Krishna, that his lifespan of life is stolen by sun god. The sun god is regularly in time without delay rising and setting to see how many people in this world are thinking of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And anyone is not thinking of Krishna, anyone is spending his time, life without thinking of Krishna, his life of duration is sucked out by sun god. Ayurharati vai pumsam udyan astam chayan nashau. By rising and by setting, it's regular duty. The sun god's regular duty is to steal away the life of people who are not thinking of Krishna. Because human form of life is for thinking of Krishna. Just few verses before, we have heard that one should, if you want beauty, you worship someone. If you want children, you want worship someone. You want money, wealth, you worship someone, and so on. So Sukadeva Goswami has given many big list of people. And whatever if I don't want anything? Should I not do anything? No, you should do akama sarva kamova. Either you want anything or you don't want anything. You still. Tibrena bhakti yogena rayajeta purusham param. You worship Krishna, param purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You worship tibrena bhakti yogena. Even if you don't want anything, then you should have much more tibra bhakti yoga, more intense bhakti yoga, intense devotion to Krishna. If you don't want anything, if you want something, then you may lose, you may have lose bhakti to someone else, and then you get something. Once you get something, then you forget about him. You know? But if you don't want anything, even if you want something, or if you want all of these things, you still worship Krishna with great, deeper, intense devotional service. So someone may ask why, but if I don't want anything, I may be better off not doing anything. That is possible. If you don't want anything, then you may go off. But, you know, the point is, you may lose this life. You may lose this chance of being a human being again, because human form of life is achieved after going through so many spaces of life. How Prabhupada counted? 8,400,000. 84 lakhs yoni or species of life. So it's rare in that sense, because once you lose this life, and there's no guarantee that you become human being, unless you become engaged in thinking of Krishna, unless you become engaged in making garlands of Krishna, like Marcus is doing here. Somewhere or other. Be engaged in thought of Krishna. So Prabhupada criticizing here the modern scientists, materialists. They simply want to enjoy, somehow or other increase your duration of life and enjoy however possible. To live life, even the trees, Prabhupada has given two examples of tree, one in Vrindavan, one in Calcutta, and he said there are many more trees around the world. They live for thousands of years. Is that a life? Life for them, but is that a real life? Just to live. Just to live. And you know, because the trees don't have life, people say, you know, that think the trees are just dead matter. But Prabhupada points out that the scientist, Mr. Bose, I pointed out, he figured it out, he discovered that there is a life in trees. Therefore they grow. Otherwise they should be just lying down like a stone. Even the stones grow, right? Even the stones grow. So, simply breathing is not a life. So then Sukadeva Goswami gives another example, breathing like the blacksmith, the bellow. Have you seen bellow? What's the difference in the spelling, below and bellow? What's the difference in the spelling, below and bellow? Oh, okay. I was thinking it's the same. Yeah, sounds good. Below?
Below
and bellow. Bellow, okay. So bellow, I have seen in our village, there used to be a blacksmith. And a blacksmith means he's heavy work with the iron, you know, metal. So he had a big bellow, made of skin. You know, it's the whole thing made of skin. And in some business they have like a machine, you just operate the machine and that blows. But the big, like a blacksmith's workshop, there's a big bellow like this, like a stomach, you know, it's made. And then the string goes up there, and then one bamboo stick goes here, and then he's sitting, the bellow is over there, the guy is sitting here, and he has to pull this thing. There's a coal to heat the fire, you know, to make the fire, so that they can heat the iron in the fire. So he has to pull this thing. So as he pulls, as he lets it go, there's a full of air in that the bellow stomach. And as he pulls, the fire, you know, blown. In that way they heat the iron. So they keep pulling each time. You know, you don't have to feed that thing. You know. Without feeding, blow so much of air. But there's no life. It's not a living being. It's just a dead matter. So simply breathing is not alive. So blacksmith also can, the bellow of the blacksmith can also breathe. Simply standing is not life. Simply breathing is not life. Simply eating and exercising is not life. So what is life? Life is, the Prabhupada says, and the purport, without spiritual value, life is like an animal. And so, the animals are very happy to see such men. I mean, there are many more, few other animals are described in next verse that we'll hear tomorrow from different speakers. But in any case, here the animals are mentioned in this sloka. So in Niti Shastra, it is said, the people who are bereft of certain art of living are as good as animals. Sahitya Sangeeta Kala Vihina. Sahitya Sangeeta Kala. Sahitya means literature, spiritual literature. And as being as a devotee, we are very fortunate. So we have Sahitya, spiritual literature, every day we are practicing. And here, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that's our principle. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We are given the spiritual science, literature, to practice, to hear from, to recite from. Sahitya. And we are already, we are given this art. Sahitya, Sangeeta. Sangeeta, none of us have joined any classical music, right? But, you come to Mangalarti and you can see people are singing. Sansara dava nalalita loka tranaya karunya gana ganatvam pratasya kalyana guna anavasya vande guru sri charana arvind. Everybody sings. They have no training, but they sing. Nice sangit. Tulasi puja. Tulasi Krishna prayasi namo namo. Nice sangit. Classical music, right in the temple room, without any background, going on. So we are so fortunate. We are given this art as a gift. And Kala, Kala is art of living. Art of living is that, thinking of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When the animal sees that people are not having this art of living, not having this special quality, they are very happy to welcome in their society. As in an imaginary picture, they will put, certain person, somebody who is not into this, Sahitya Sangeeta Kala, not engaged in Krishna's service, not engaged in thinking of Krishna. People, the animals call their assembly and then they bring the imaginary picture of that person who has not been engaged in the service of Krishna. They say, okay, come on, everybody, welcome this fellow. Why? Sakshat pashu puccha vishana hina. He's as good as animal, even though he does not have any horns or tails, but he's good. He's good animal. Sakshat pashu. No tails, no horns, but anyway, we can welcome him in our society. So in the front of the line, in that assembly, there are animals in mode of goodness, like cows and goats and horse, like, grass eaters. They say, we are so fortunate that you have come to join our community. We welcome you, we are very fortunate. Only problem is that you don't eat grass, that's the problem, what we can offer. And then behind them are animals in a mode of passion, like dogs and cats, those who eat meat. They say, never mind, we have something for him to offer. You eat meat, right? Yes, okay. So we have something to offer. Whenever there is chance, we'll offer you meat. You'll eat that, right? The guy is very, very ashamed, what kind of things I'm going to see. And after that they say, the more animals in a mode of ignorance, like hogs, all those, filthy animals. you don't imagine those, how filthy they are, because they are now in the supermarket. They can people go and buy them, pay thousands of dollars, hogs and dogs. But in village, you will see how filthy they are. So they come forward and say, hey, never mind. What's that? Whenever there is chance, you will offer it. No. We have food available everywhere. Hogs eat stools, So there's food available everywhere. Every morning, people pass stools. So we have food available for you. You don't mind going to restaurants and eating anything that is available, right? So the guy, the human being, was so embarrassed, He goes back and he said, no, I got to change my life. Okay, let me go find some ISKCON temple. I'll do some satsanga, change my life, become endowed with spiritual value. I'll increase my value so that I don't have to see this. Trinam na khadan na bijiva mana tad bhaga deyam paramam pashunam. The human being is everything but not grass. So that is very very much fortunate life time for animals. And they welcome such a human being. So therefore, so we don't end up in that. Of course, we don't end up in that kind of. We are already in different track of line. We have sahitya, sangeet, and kala. We have spiritual science, spiritual literatures, classical music, and art of living, chanting Hare Krishna. There was one saintly figure walking on the street, and then he suddenly saw one huge construction is going on. And in the construction, he wanted to know what was going on. And then he went to one of the workers, and he asked, "My dear brother, what's going on here?" The first guy said, "Well, first of all, he was not trying to listen to him." And then he asked again, "My dear brother, what's going on? Can you tell me what is all this?" So he looked it up. "Are you blind? Don't you see? I'm working hard here. I'm working hard. Are you blind or what? By looking at this, you should understand what's going on." Okay. So he goes further. And he asks another person, "My dear brother, what's going on? What is this?" So he said, "Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm just working here to make money and fill my belly." Okay. You're filling your belly? Fine. He walks further and he asks another third person, "My dear brother, what's going on? Can you tell me? What is all this?" So third person says, first of all, he bowed down because he's a saintly figure. He bowed down, did pranam, and humbly he answered the question. That this is one rich guy is building a temple, and I'm just helping according to my capacity. I have no capacity to build such temple and gain such a meritorious punya. But since this person is doing it, so I'm just helping according to my capacity. Of course, I'm getting paid, but at the same time, I'm putting my devotion to build this temple, doing the same work. I mean, yeah, he's working, he's a worker, but his mindset is different. So then, finally, he come to the conclusion, this saintly figure. He said, these three people, whoever he asked this question, they're all doing the same work. But the mentality is different. The first one is so materialistic, so he's so much engrossed in his work. He's breaking the stones breaking the bricks, whatever, and his mind, whole intelligence becomes like a stone. Can't even answer the question properly. Can't even see who is in the front. So materially engrossed. The second person is doing the same, but he's working just to fill up his belly, maintain his family. But then the third person, see the mentality, he's working the same, it's the same work he's doing. But then he has this in mind, he's saying, "Oh, somebody is building a temple, I cannot do it, let me help. I'll get paid anyway, but I'll just help." So in this way, this is the art of life. we work during the day, it looks like that we are working this, like the same, like the karmis do. But what is the point? Lord Krishna says, yat karosi, yat asnasi, yat juhosi, dadasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurusva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, and whatever austerities you perform, you do that for me. Do that for me. And by that, suvasuva phalayireva moksha shekarma bandhanehi. And whatever good or bad results it may happen. But then since you have offered that to me, you will be free from all reactions of karma. So that, yes, yeah, Srila Prabhupada mentions here, the life is meant for tapasya. Tapo divyam putra gayena shatvam shudyer yashmad brahma shokyam tanantam. Life is meant for tapasya. Tapasya means, how is that defined? Tapasya? That's something more. Volunteer hardship. Is that somewhere it is mentioned? Volunteer hardship. Like, you know, you don't want to wake up early in the morning. People just sleep like anything. You know, morning sleeps are wonderful, right? Morning sleeps are wonderful, so that's they sleep so well. So what devotees, volunteer hardship, you know, it's hard to wake up in the morning, but they're voluntarily trying to wake up in the morning. That's tapasya. You know? And in many cases, people take bath with cold water. we may not have that cold water in the bathroom because the whole hot water is always available. But in some places, people do take bath with cold water. That's voluntary hardship, you know. You don't want to take bath with cold water early morning, but still, even if you take bath with hot water, that's still good enough. You know, not many people take bath early morning. They may go and swim in the springs or oceans time to time, but I don't think people regularly take bath. Right? So being devotees, you have this taken voluntarily hard work and hardship. You know, waking up early morning when you could sleep very well. You know, those who wake up until 12, 1, you know, at midnight, it's naturally you'll sleep for quite long, many hours in the morning. But if you have this principle taken in your life, early to bed, early to rise, make you healthy, wealthy and wise. Right? So if you try to go sleep earlier, you can wake up earlier. I can't wake up earlier because I drive. Other day I picked up Mother Madhumati from the airport. On the way she asked me, Prabhu, don't you fall asleep when you drive late night? I said, I'm drunk. Yeah. And then she was imagining maybe I'm smoking ganja or something. Once I asked this question, I had in mind that, you know, Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piva, you know. So Krishna Rasayanam, I have not a bead, but I have the clicker in my hand. I keep chanting and I keep hearing Bhagavatam slokas in my players. So that, you know, Krishna Rasayan, the medicine, or you can say tea. The tea I'm drinking. And so it doesn't let me sleep. So and that is idam sariram satasandhi jarjaram, like King Kulasekhar says. Idam sariram, this body is made of so many joints. Here is joint, here is joint, here is joint, so many joints, you can calculate. Thousands of joints in this body. And somehow I can stand and go, right? Satasandhi jarjaram. Patatyavashyam parinama peshalam. One day it's going to fall off. So many joints in this body, that the joints crumble and one day will fall off. Kimaushadam prichasi mura durmate. Oh fool, what kind of oshadi, the medicine are you asking? You may go to allopathy, homeopathy and ayurvedic and all this oshadi. But this body is going to fall off one day anyway. Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piva. Therefore, you must drink this Krishna Rasayanam. elixir of Krishna's holy name. Elixir, right? Krishna Rasayanam. Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piva. So, my dear, foolish mind, just drink. And in the beginning of Bhagavatam, it is said, Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. Please drink this nectar of Bhagavatam. How? How to drink? Through the ear. Through the ear. You have never heard that anybody drinks from through the ear. Drinking is, it goes on, open your mouth and drink. But then drinking through the ear, never heard of. But then in 10th canto, when Lord Krishna plays his flute, what happens? Gavastu Krishna Mukhanirgata Venu Gita Piyusha Mutta Vitakarna Putai Pivantya Savas Nutastanapaya Kavalas Nutastu Govinda Matmani Drishasu Kalas Vishantya. Krishna is playing flute. And as soon as the flute is played, and the cows, they forget showing to their grass. Grass is in the mouth, and they forget. And then the ears are becoming like cup, you know. They're becoming like cup, and so they're trying to grasp as much as possible, so it's not spill out. So all that, the Venu Gita, the nectar of the Venu sound, should come directly in my ears, Venu Gita. Piyusham, that nectar, uttavita karna putai, they're keeping their ears standing up like this, and then pivantya, they're drinking that Venu Gita through their ears. It's possible, right? one of my Sanskrit students composed a sloka like this. Having this feeling that in Vrindavan, the cows used to have such a cup-like ears. So when Krishna played his flute, they drank their nectar through their ears. Alas, I would have the same type of ears so that I could hear tad bhakta mukha gita charitam srinuyam sadaiva. Syatam mamapi yadi tadrisha karna randhru tad bhakta gita charitam srinuyam sadaiva. Alas, if I had the same ears like those cows had in Vrindavan, I could hear the glories of Krishna sung by his devotees all the time. But I don't have that. If I pour anything, everything goes out. If I pour anything in my ear, everything goes out. But if I had the same ears like those cows, I would probably hear the glories of Krishna sung by the great devotee Lasa Gurudev Goswami all the time. Shyatam mamapi yadi tadrisha karna randhrau tat bhakta gita charitam srinuyam sadaiva. Hare Krishna. Thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Any corrections, comments?
You know, when I hear Prabhupada talk, actually, like when you were saying, when you taste, you can... So when the sound of Prabhupada talking goes in my ear, it actually feels good. It feels like it's tasting the nectar. Mm. And then you also.
Parikshit Maharaj said that in 10th canto, beginning of 10th canto, is that it is hearing of Krishna Katha is good for ears and good for mind. Right? What shloka? I forget. Shrutra Manovirama. Shrutra Manovirama. Ka uttama shloka gunanu vada tuman virajjeta vinapashugnat. Only meat eaters or animal killers may not enjoy this. Otherwise, everybody will enjoy. Because hearing Krishna Katha is good. It's pleasing to mind and pleasing to ears. So it's always good. Hare Krishna. Yes, please.
Thank you, Prabhupada, for a nice class. My question is on that example that you have given, three people working on a temple construction. So the one who is working without knowing anything, but he is working for temple construction, but he doesn't have that consciousness. Does it get any benefit?
Does he get any benefit? Mother Madhama, did you say something?
That quote from
to explain it to me, yeah, I forgot the Sanskrit, you remember?
Yeah.
That Prana always quotes it, but if you know, you get much more benefit. If you don't know, you get some benefit. You know, gray area.
Yeah. I don't remember that. Mother, what do you want to say, Sean? Yeah, so, no, I think it was in the PowerPoint yesterday, Prabhupada talks about a charity. If maybe this is very similar. Prabhupada says that if you give charity to a well-qualified Brahman, then you get thousand time return in your next life. If you give to a low-class Brahman who is not qualified, you get the same benefit, same thing return, same amount. If you give a little qualified Brahman, little qualified, not fully qualified, but yeah, something. So you get some time more. So similarly, does it make sense? So even if you do something by knowing, you get, even if you do unknowingly, you get some benefit. But with knowledge, if you do, then you have much more benefit. Does it make sense? Yeah. Ajnanat dhava jnanat. Yeah, somewhere. That connects somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, you got a great approval. What I know is from Rupa Goswami. Ajnanat dhava jnanat. Ashubham yan mayakritam. But that's a different context. But yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. Thank you very much.
Those who slaughter the cow, those who carry, transport, those who, in any kind of participation, they get sinful reaction. You know, there's so many people.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that if someone is unknowingly working on a temple, which is going to be glorifying God, then they'll get some residual good benefits from that. It may not be the highest without the knowledge, but still, because their efforts are put towards a spiritual activity, I believe it would be apply like that.
Thank you.
I've got a question. You were talking about the dog. Well, and Srila Prabhupada says that even a dog can chant. So does the dog that's chanting, is he more qualified than the person that's ignoring the personality of Godhead in life?
Those are rare cases when the animals also take part in devotional service. I've heard that. I mean, we can see from Chaitanya Charitamrita the dog started to chant in front of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya offered Mahaprasad, and then next day, he was gone.
Yeah. So is he more qualified than the person that's just going through life without worshipping the personality of God?
Yeah, that's Ahetu Kripa that they receive immediately.
That's what the story
is saying. Yeah. And so I have heard that a story a long time ago, I don't know when it was in South Africa or in or maybe Malaysia or somewhere. The cows, one person was keeping lots of cows, and one day he thought of just selling them all, sell the whole business, and then those cows are going to be butchered. So one of those cows ran to the temple, you know, ran to the temple and stand early morning in front of Mangalarti, in front of deities, outside the temple. So they kept coming. The cow brought more cows, and they brought more cows. I don't know where this story came. I read it. And then finally, the day the business was supposed to close, you know, the sold, all the cows came to Mangalarti. And then there was nobody. there was no cow.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from the heart. I mean, it's latent in the heart of the jiva. And it's not, it doesn't come from the body. It doesn't come from the form. It's just that the human form facilitates, you know, like... Oh, like once we were talking about like dolphins, how they're so, you know, why are fish or whatever considered less something than insects? Anyways, it was some categorization. But one thing is, if you're living in the ocean, you ain't going to be going to any temple anytime soon. You know, so how are these things, you know, you're making a list, this is better, this is not as good. What's the context of the list? And at any rate, so it comes from the heart, the jiva. Krishna's in every jiva's heart. And just the human form just facilitates opportunities for devotional service in ways the other forms do. Having said that, I can assure you my pet dogs are very advanced in devotional service.
In Mayapur, we do Panchakos Parikrama, that's Mayapur, within Mayapur itself. And so every time we join Parikrama, there is one dog. Goes from beginning to the end, following devotees. You know, sometime ahead, sometime back, but one dog always goes, and he knows that's the time is starting. And, you know, many dogs come and go, but then this one dog always follows the Parikrama all the way up. You know. Yeah. Well, I don't know where he lives, but, you know, there is always.
What's that, Chaitanya, in the beginning of one chapter, even the dog is a village, is a devotee. It seems to be a cave. So, Kulin is not?
Kulia?
Kulia? Even the dog there.
Thank you. Yes, another mathematician.
There is this story I've heard that you would know about the mouse who got on the altar and the light was going off.
That's in Kartik Mahatmya. Kartik Mahatmya.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he got the benefit because it was annoying and his whiskers got on fire and then he kept it.
That was told by Lord Krishna to Satyabhama. Satyabhama was wondering how she got this position being Krishna's Patrani, you know, Krishna's wife in Dwarka. So she asked Krishna, can you tell me what piety I have done so that I could, you know, I have you as husband? And Krishna said, well, you are a mouse.
in
Kartik Mahatmya.
Kartik
Mahatmya. Yeah. So Krishna said, you're a mouse, you know. And he said, well, there was, in South India, there was a temple. Pujari was doing very gorgeous service to the Lord. And then this mouse suddenly appeared. And then nothing to eat. He was going up and down, back and forth, and nothing to eat. Everything was kept so nicely, the mouse couldn't get anything. And so as soon as the pujari finished his arati, offering arati, and left the lamp on over there, and then, that's so, it feels so nice, I'll have full stomach of food. So she jumped, she swallowed the burning lamp. And then because it was burning hot, she jumped up and down and then died. So because before death, she must have thought of Krishna or not, it doesn't matter, but she was dancing in front of Krishna. So therefore, she became, in next life, she became one of the king's daughter. So in this life, she got this sanskara somehow, you know, she was lighting lamps. From her childhood, she got this habit of lighting lamps, light lamps in the temple, in the room, in the altar, and outside, in the crossroads, and in the rivers, in the mountain, everywhere she was just light lamp. That was her devotional service, somehow. Lighting lamp is life. And then she got married to one king who already had so many queens. But then when she came, she continued doing that, lighting lamps, and everybody was so jealous. Why? And then when they made a cottage to ask, why are you lighting lamps all the time? So she said, well, you know, I'll tell you my previous life. I was a mouse. I ate burning lamp, and I became the daughter of a king. So if I light more and more lamps for the Lord, I don't know what I'll be next time. So they kind of, you know, kind of convinced. So everybody was trying to light lamp. So I think that story says that all of them who light a lamp for Krishna, they become Krishna's wives.
Of course, you didn't find out until Krishna told us.
That goes on. Well, someone said, someone said in the stories of Puranas, you don't try to find times which happened first, which happened later. That's no point. Simply point is to hear this katha and observe your mind in Krishna. That's it. You're trying to find what happened first, what happened last. It's just a waste of time. So. Yeah, to Satyabham, yes, you just gave this incident, and therefore you became Satraj's daughter, and you married to me. That's your piety, because you lighted the lamp. And of course, if in Kartik you light the lamp, then Lord Damodar is pleased, and he gives you
prema.
Yeah, that is it. I mean, there are so many incidents coming together. And some kalpa is like this, some kalpa is like that, and just like that. So. Sahitya Sangeeta Kala Vihina. Sahitya Sangeeta Kala Vihina. Yeah, Vihina. Yeah, bereft of. Sakshat Pashu Pucha Vishana Hina. Krinam na khadan na pijiva mana. You are animal, but you don't eat grass. Tadbhaga deyam paramam pashu. We are very fortunate to welcome you. Yes, the demon.